He found himself sitting in ways that limited future motion. Knees angled inward, hands placed on thighs rather than arms of chairs. Postures that made standing slower, more deliberate. He did not force this. The RTS simply failed to present themselves. He studied. Summer's face, it filled the screen. Her eyes and mouth were opened, and the expression seemed one of dread and sexual ecstasy. He stops on a single frame. Not a pause between movements, not a moment extracted from flow, but a still image that refuses to be subordinate to what came before or after. The interface tells him it is one frame among many, but the image does not accept the description. It insists on being complete. Summer's face fills most of the frame. The resolution is high enough to punish attention. Every surface is available, nothing hides behind blur or motion. The lighting is even, almost clinical, and that is what makes it unbearable. No shadows to suggest depth, no highlights to flatter. The face is given as fact. At first he sees what anyone would see. Skin, eyes, mouth, familiar proportions, adult presence. The image appears inert, a document. He thinks briefly that this is where the obsession should break, where fixation should collapse into ordinariness. It does not. The longer he looks, the more the image begins to resort itself. Not morphing, not changing shape, but reorganizing salience. Certain regions begin to assert themselves, not visually, but structurally. The face ceases to be a portrait and becomes a field of constraints. The eyes are open, but they are not looking, or rather, they are looking without directing. Their gaze distributes. We cannot tell what they are directed at because direction has been suspended. The pupils do not anchor perception. They act as apertures through which something else leaks. Behind the eyes, depth accumulates without distance. He leans closer. The image does not pixelate, it thickens. Fine detail does not resolve into clarity, it resolves into multiplicity. The pores of the skin appear as sites of micro-variations, each carrying a slightly different version of the same necessity. The face does not present one way of being there, it presents many, all equally authorized. This is the first wave of dread. Not fear, not shock, but the realization that the image is overdetermined. Too many grounds, too many supports, nothing rests on a single explanation. He focuses on the mouth, closed nature, neither inviting nor refusing a line that should divide inside from outside. It does not. The boundary holds visually, but conceptually it begins to fail. The mouth ceases to be an edge, it becomes a threshold without directionality. There is no clear sense of entry or exit. The mouth does not lead anywhere, it opens onto depth but does not recede. He feels a pressure behind his own lips, a sympathetic response that has no emotional content, just a recognition of structure. The image begins to layer. He sees the face as it is, and simultaneously as it could not have been otherwise, not counterfactuals in sequence but co-present necessities. This face had to be exactly this way in order for this image to exist. But the reasons multiply. Each reason supports a slightly different face, all of them coincide here. The effect is vertiginous. He tries to step back, to reassert distance, but the image resists scaling. Whether he leans in or sits back, the face remains the same size in his field of attention. The room recedes instead. The screen becomes the dominant geometry. The eyes diminish, not their color, but their status. They cease to be features and become operators. He realizes that they are not merely seen, they are seen through it in that sense.